He did, Shari agreed, then turned to the innkeeper. Mistress Bell-Harrell, shew us to a suite. We will be staying here until Lord General Zell-Enred arrives. At once, Princess Charindis, she replied, then stood and bowed again before leading the way up the stairs. Mariah Zell-Halvis and her women were right on Shari's heels, but Stavin and Karvik remained outside. Karvik asked, "What are you thinking?"
"I'm thinking that there was so much more to this than I thought. Moravat and chasing down Zell-Dravel was just small, isolated parts of a much bigger event. It's like looking at the center of a tapestry, thinking that's all there is and ignoring the rest of the picture."
He looked at his hands and shook his head.
"I held the fate of the entire kingdom in my hands, Kaa."
"And you delivered it back into the hands of its rightful king, Steve. You did what you had to.
It wasn't enough."
"Yes, dragon-blessed senior warmaster, Prince Stephen Marken Carvan Dukilin, Neaniston Zell-Andral, former king of Karivia, it was." Karvik put both hands on his friend's shoulders, forcing Stephen to look him in the eyes.
"Steve, I don't think anyone else could have done what you did. I'm certain no one else would have tried what you did in Aravat, and I'm just as certain that if they had, they wouldn't have succeeded. You captured Zell-Dravel in Kavadia without triggering a Karivian-Kavadian war. Or raids across the border. You need to stop obsessing over what you didn't do and start being satisfied with what you did."
"But so many people died,"
Staving cried as he pulled away from Karvik.
"You can't take the blame for that, Steve. You weren't the one who killed them, or let them be killed.
Most of what happened here," Karvik waved one hand at Delta, "happened before we even reached Moravat. You didn't do this and you couldn't have stopped it."
Stavin shook his head and turned away. He was aware of Karvik and 20 other royal guardsmen following him, but he was used to that. His feet led him around the inn to the stables. He found True and automatically started currying her. He needed that simplicity, that sense of accomplishment, the simple act of doing a job with results he could see. Stavin turned away from True to find Major Zell-Astel standing beside Karvik.
"Your Highness, there is a woman outside who claims to be a priestess of the Nurturer."
Stavin's head tilted to the side as he said,
"I thought they were all killed,"
in a puzzled tone. The Major bowed.
"She claims she was away from the temple when the Cutter's followers attacked. She's very young."
"How young is very young, Warvin?"
Major Zell-Astel smiled as he replied,
"About 14.
"A novice?"
"She claims she was just raised to initiate," the Major replied with a grin. "Her robes are the right color for a very junior priestess."
Stavin nodded toward the doors and started out with his guards around him. Outside, surrounded by 10 guardsmen, was the priestess. She was kneeling with her head bowed when Stavin stopped in front of her.
"Welcome, priestess,"
he said, causing her to look up, then quickly look down again.
"Your Highness honors me."
Stavin smiled.
"Stand, priestess. Until your superiors and the rest of the kingdom can send you help. You are the shepherdess of Deltar. You need not kneel to anyone."
The girl looked up again, then stood. Stavin was surprised into exclaiming,
"You're as tall as Mark."
The priestess looked frightened and seemed to shrink in on herself.
"Your Highness, my brother-in-law, Markan, you've got to be as tall as he is, or nearly so."
Karvik chuckled as he cocked his head to the side and grinned at the young woman.
"I think you're right, Your Highness. She's got me by about 2 fingers.
Stavin shook his head and chuckled. Smiling at the young priestess, he bowed slightly.
"How did you escape Lebowan's attack?"
he asked in a gentle tone.
"I was home, east of town,"
she gestured as Stavin nodded.
"My sister was sick. When the news came and the Cutter's priests attacked, I wanted to come back, but my father locked me in the cellar."
She looked at the ground,
but from his vantage point Staving could see how uneasily that action sat with her.
"Smart man," Karvik commented, making her glance at him.
"Yes," Staving agreed, drawing her attention back to him. "Shepherdess, I invite you to be my guest for a time. I have seen what they did to Lady Sarin's temple. It will take some time to make it fit to worship in again."
The priestess looked at the ground again, and a tear dripped from her nose as she whispered,
"I saw."
Staving put one hand on her arm and turned her toward the inn. Once they were inside, Staving signaled the innkeeper over.
"This is... you know I didn't ask your name,"
he said, as he looked up at the young priestess.
"My name is Valoran Felkestel, Prince Staving."
Staving turned toward the innkeeper and nodded.
"Provide the Shepherdess of Delta a room at my expense."
The innkeeper looked startled, then bowed.
"As you command, Prince Staving. Come with me, Val. Let's get you settled."
Staving watched her lead the girl away, then looked up at Karvik and said,
"I have an idea."
Karvik looked at his expression and moaned, "Oh, no."
Chapter 26 Three spans later, Staving, Karvik, and 20 Evandian royal guardsmen were in the temple of Lady Sarin.
"They've desecrated everything," Staving said as he looked around.
"This is going to take a while," Karvik replied as he assessed the situation. "I'll start over here."
Staving and his guardsmen worked through the rest of the day to clear the broken furniture, shattered statuary, and defiled holy objects from the building. In many places they found large pools of dried blood caked on the floor. The bodies had been dragged out by the followers of Lebowan and burned by the lady's tree, and the tree with them. Staving led a tired, grim group back to the inn. He looked at Karvik and said,
"It's going to take a lot of effort to make that temple whole again."
Staving was sitting with his family, enjoying the evening meal, when Karvik walked over and stopped by his side.
"The priestess wants to speak with you, Steve."
Staving nodded.
"Bring her over."
Karvik motioned over his shoulder, and two guardswomen escorted the young woman to his table. Staving stood and bowed slightly before asking,
"How may we be of service, Shepherdess?"
She bowed deeply before saying,
"Your Highness, I heard what you did. You shouldn't lower yourself to clean my lady's temple, that's my task."
Staving smiled.
"I don't consider it to be lowering myself, Shepherdess. We follow Lady Sarin in Evandia, and this is a service to our lady that we can fulfill. Will you join us?"
he said, as he waved toward the table. Carlin immediately jumped up and bowed as he said,
"I would be honored if you would take my chair, Shepherdess."
Ralph took the initiative and removed Carlin's plate and cup, while Sindal went to fetch a fresh plate from the kitchen. In just a few breaths, Valoran Felkestel found herself seated at Staving's right hand. Staving bowed in his seat and said,
"Shepherdess, may I present my wife, Princess Charindis, our son, Prince Carlin, and our daughters, Princesses Sarin and Marin."
Valoran looked at the young family, then bowed deeply in her chair.
"I am honored to meet you all, your highnesses."
Shari returned the bow.
"Staving told me what he and the guardsmen have been doing. I think all of us will be going to the lady's temple tomorrow." "Princess? The temple won't be ready for a long time. There so much was damaged or destroyed." "Which is why we will be there, Shepherdess,"
Shari answered with a slight smile.
"The cavalry is being occupied by guarding the Cutter's priests, but we and our people are in need of something to keep us busy. Since most of our guards are followers of Lady Sarin, we will do what we can to set her temple to rights."
The young shepherdess stared at her lap as tears trickled down her face.
"Your Highness, I..."
She broke down crying, and little Sarin went around the table to hug her.
"It's all right. Please don't cry. Mummy and Daddy are keeping the bad men away." "Princess?" "I'm Sarin, that's Marin,"
she said as she pointed across the table.
Princess Saren, I'm just so... I don't know what to do.
She cried again, burying her face in her hands.
Let Mummy and Daddy do it. They know how to do everything. They are scribes.
Valoran wiped her tears and bowed to Saren.
Yes, your parents are known for their wisdom.
Stavin nodded.
We'll do all we can to restore Lady Saren's temple, but there are a lot of things, holy objects and such, that will have to be provided by your mother temple in Moravat. When Lord General Zelenred gets here, I'll ask him to send the request to Moravat with his report.
Valoran bowed deeply again and said,
Thank you, Prince Stephen.
Sindal returned with a fresh plate for the young priestess, and both Stavin and Shari encouraged her to eat. Carlin waited until she was finished before asking,
Shepherdess, how did you become a priestess?
She smiled shyly, then said,
One winter, when I was very young, I saw a vision of a lady in white by the river. When I ran to her, I found my big brother had fallen through the ice. I was able to get him out and back to the house, because Lady Saren showed me where he was. When I turned 10, I chose the priesthood as my vocation. I had just been raised from novice to initiate when—
She stopped speaking, and bit her lips as a tear trickled down her face.
They were the best people I've ever known.
Stavin reached over and squeezed her hand.
You won't be alone for long, Valoran, and we'll stay with you until the temple is whole again. You don't have to bear this burden alone.
Morning found all of Stavin's party, except the 20 members of the night shift guard team, at Lady Saren's temple. Shari was silent as she walked through, surveying the damage. When she walked out into the cloister and saw the charred stump of the lady's tree, she froze and said,
This first.
Princess Shari? Mariah Zelhalvis asked.
I remember reading that the temples were built around a living tree, usually a birch or aspen. Grab some strong backs and shovels. The remains of the original tree need to be removed. Then we'll take our young shepherdess out and find a new lady tree.
As you command, Princess Shari. With your permission, I'll approach the Lady Mayor about providing someone for the task. No offense to our guardsmen, but I really don't think any of them are up to digging up a stump that size, and even if they were,
she chuckled,
they'd never forgive me for making them do it.
Shari chuckled as well before saying,
Very well, Mariah, do as you think best.
It wasn't long before the common folk of the town began stopping in to see what was happening. Most of them left after just a few moments, but a growing number of them began helping. The guards kept a close watch but didn't interfere. By midday, the remains of the temple objects had been removed, and buckets of water had been poured over the stains on the floor. Shari caught Valoran's arm as she passed.
Shepherdess, join us for the midday meal. I think we all need a break from this.
The young woman bowed, but her expression was one of extreme sorrow.
How can I eat, Your Highness?
She whispered.
Everything I've known for the past 4 years is gone. My friends, my mentors, my teachers are all gone. You eat because you must,
Shari replied softly.
You eat to keep your strength up, to show those bastards that you might have been beaten, but you are not defeated. You eat to honor your lady, so you can tend to her flock as a nurturer.
Valoran broke down, collapsing into Shari's arms, and crying her heartache out while Shari stroked her back. Mariah stepped toward them, but Shari raised a finger to stop her. This much she could and would do for the girl. After some time, Valoran straightened and stepped back.
"Forgive me, Princess Charindis. I shouldn't have done that."
Shari smiled softly.
"There is nothing to forgive, Valoran. What you have gone through would reduce anyone to tears. But you're a princess. I'm a mother, and you're really not that much older than my son. It is the way of the nurturer to offer what comfort you can when it's needed."
Valoran sobbed again, but she was nodding.
Yes, Princess Charendis, it is.
She wiped her eyes and took a deep, shuddering breath.
Thank you, Your Highness. I will serve my lady. I won't let the cutter win.
Shari nodded and patted her arm.
Come eat now. We'll be going into the forest after we eat to transplant a new lady tree. You know the rituals, don't you? Yes, Princess Charendis. Selecting the tree isn't very complicated, and I know of a birch grove that isn't too far away. That's what our tree is... was.
She took a deep breath and shook her head.
And will be again. That's the spirit. Now go clean up before we eat.
After a good, hearty meal, the royal party borrowed a wagon from the inn and headed into the forest. Stavin, Carlin, and the guards rode their horses, but Shari, Valoran, and Sarin and Marin rode in the wagon. The girls were excited and played in the back of the wagon, and quickly drew the young priestess into their game. Shari looked at Stavin and smiled. The twins were bringing Valoran back to the world of the living, one giggle at a time. It took 9 spans to reach the grove, and Valoran climbed down from the wagon without looking away from the trees.
"It should be a young tree,"
she whispered,
"no thicker than your arm."
She sounded like she was repeating something she'd been told a long time ago. As she'd predicted, it didn't take long for her to select a tree. It was already 2 man heights tall, but it was very slender.
"This one seems about right,"
she murmured. Stavin and Karvik were the first to start digging. After a span, 2 royal guardsmen took over. It continued that way as all of the guards, men and women alike, worked to dig out the tree with a good-sized ball of dirt around its roots. Sackcloth was wrapped around the ball to keep it together, then the tree was freed from the ground and hefted out of the hole. Getting the tree into the wagon required a lot more effort than digging it up had, but soon the task was done. By now the twins were getting tired, so the ride back to town was much quieter. As they approached the town, the sound of an angry mob could be heard in the distance. Stavin looked at Karvik, then turned toward Carlin.
"Stay with the wagon,"
he ordered, and Carlin nodded in silence as he rode to his mother's side. Stavin, Karvik, and 20 of the guardsmen rode forward at a gallop. What they saw when they cleared the trees stopped them. A large crowd was gathered outside the city, and a surprising array of weapons were evident. Pitchforks, matlocks, scythes, and axes were predominant. But they were by no means the only weapons. Flails and even kitchen knives were there, and Karvik immediately moved in front of Stavin. "You stay out of this, Steve," he ordered. But Stavin wasn't in the mood to obey.
"No, Kar, if they want blood, I'll spill theirs."
Stavin kicked True to a run and charged the mob as his royal guardsmen struggled to keep up. The people outside Deltar turned toward them, but whatever their purpose was, facing what amounted to a squadron of cavalry charging their rear caused them to break up in disarray. People streamed away at a dead run as the Evandian royal guards chased their prince. One group in the familiar robes of Lebowan's priesthood stood their ground, and Stavin pulled True to a stop facing them.
"Who are you?"
he demanded. "I am Shia priest Jesvan," the leader said as he sneered in reply. "Who are you to challenge me in Lebowan's kingdom?" Stavin gave him a nasty grin. "I am dragon-blessed senior warmaster Prince Stavin Markan Carvan Dulcalin, ne Aniston Zel Andral of Evandia, former king of Caravia. I'm the one who took Caravia back from the traitor Carvar Zel Dravel and put King Teravan Zel Darvin back on his throne. Surrender or die!"
Stavin looked at the city gates and saw Captain Zel Corval and his troopers lining the walls.
Priest Jesvan shouted, "King Carvar Zel Dravel will conquer Evandia and remake the empire in Lebowan's name." He raised a pair of long-pointed shears and stepped towards Stavin.
Then he fell forward into the dust with one of Karvik's knives in his chest. Stavin turned and looked at Karvik.
68.
68, Karvik agreed. Stavin shook his head, then looked toward the stunned men still at the gate. Of the 12, 7 wore the robes of Level One's priesthood.
You men have the choice of surrendering and being confined until you can be sent to Maravad for trial, or being killed here and now. You have 3 breaths to decide.
You can't do that,
one of the priests shouted as he stepped forward. Then he fell on his face with a cavalryman's throwing axe in the back of his head. That was enough for the rest, and they threw their weapons to the ground, then knelt and put their hands behind their heads. Stavin nodded and looked at the gates, and loudly ordered,
Captain Zalkorval, take charge of the prisoners. Confine them in the temple with the rest of Level One's filth.
Several of the priests started to object to Stavin's comment, but the bodies by their knees silenced them. Stavin led the way back to the wagon. He stopped True beside it and spoke to Shari.
It was some of Lebowan's priests and their followers who were out of town when we arrived. Most ran like cowards when we rode up, but a group of priests stayed by the gates. Shia priest Jesvan died with one of Karvik's knives in his chest, and another died with a throwing axe in the back of his head. The rest are being put in their temple with the others.
I know Jesvan Belreldar,
Valoran whispered.
He and my father used to be friends.
He is facing his god now, Valoran,
Stavin said in a gentle tone.
There is nothing to fear from him any more.
Valoran nodded and turned away from Shari, but her shoulders continued to heave as she cried. Shari nodded to Stavin, and they continued their trip. At the gate, there was just a patch of mud that marked the priest's death. Shari drove the wagon to the Blue Heron and stopped it at the steps.
Come with me, Val. The guardsman will take the tree to the temple.
She looked at Stavin and nodded, then turned away with Saren and Maren right behind her. Stavin climbed onto the wagon straight from True's saddle. Karvik caught up her reins and tied them to his saddle horn. A glance between them set the wagon in motion. At the Temple of the Nurturer, Stavin stopped the wagon and climbed down.
We need to make sure the old tree stump is gone. It looked pretty big.
Karvik nodded.
Let's get the new tree out of the wagon and into the temple, then get some more water on its roots. I doubt we'll be able to do much more than that today.
Stavin turned and looked at the young tree and nodded his approval. The guardsmen all joined in, pulling the root ball to the back of the wagon and carefully sliding it down a plank to the ground. It was when everyone's attention was on the tree that 4 men attacked Stavin. There was no warning. The men silently raced from the corner of the temple and grabbed Stavin, with the leader wrapping his arm around Stavin's chest and pressing a knife to his throat. The leader shouted,
"Leave off!"
as Stavin struggled in his arms.
"You'll not bring the worship of that harlot back to Lebowan's realm!"
Stavin stopped struggling and planted both feet on the ground. This time even he heard himself growling, and so did the man holding him. When the attacker's embrace loosened, Stavin shifted his hips to the side and swung his armored fist down and back into the man's crutch. The man let go of Stavin and folded over in pain, but that just gave Stavin a better target. The armored backs of Stavin's gauntlets crashed repeatedly into the man's head. The other men stood frozen in their tracks by the sight of their leader, a priest inquisitor of Lebowan, being beaten down by a child-sized non-believer. And they died where they stood as 20 of Andean royal guardsmen fell on them to protect their prince. Karvik finally pulled Stavin back and got punched in the belly for the effort. Since he was in armor, it didn't have much effect.
"Damn it, Steve, it's me!"
he shouted, and watched as Stavin fought to regain his composure.
"Execute that fool!"
he growled as he looked down at the priest. Karvik knelt and checked the man, then stood.
"Too late.
Your gauntlets shattered his skull. Stavin's growl intensified for a moment, then he took a deep breath and closed his eyes.
Very well. Haul that trash to Lebowan's temple and dump it on the steps. Tell those fools inside that the next time I'm attacked, I'll burn the temple down around their ears.
Steve, tell them, Carr. Make them believe it. Tell them before one of them makes a move on Shari or the kids.
Karvik froze for a moment, then nodded.
As you command.
Then he motioned toward the bodies, and four men grabbed each of them and tossed them into the back of the wagon. Stavin looked at Karvik and said,
Take three men with you. The rest of us will ride back to the inn.
Karvik nodded and drove the wagon away, and Stavin turned toward the remaining guardsmen.
Let's drag the tree into the courtyard for the night.
The guardsmen immediately began moving the tree, but 10 of them took up guard positions, facing away from the temple. Stavin nodded his approval, then did what he could to help move the tree. Once they returned to the inn, Stavin ordered everyone to the bathing room, while another watch section took up the guard duty. Once he was clean and properly dressed, he joined Shari in the common room.
"We had more trouble with Lebowan's priests."
"I heard,"
Shari replied without looking at him.
"You shouldn't have had the bodies dumped on the temple steps, Stephen. You are antagonizing them for no reason."
"I have every reason, Shari. If they had come after you like that,"
his voice took on an almost pleading tone,
"my armor protects me. You don't have that luxury. The children don't either. Lebowan's priests have to believe I'll kill them all if they continue attacking us."
Shari looked him in the eyes as she whispered,
"You're just making them hate us more."
Stavin shook his head.
"They would condemn me for being small, and the rest of you for being my family. That's their way. They don't have to have a reason to hate us. We are defective in their eyes, and condemned."
Shari closed her eyes and bowed her head.
"Perhaps you are right, Stephen. Perhaps you are right. Or were. It doesn't matter any more. The deed is done. Is the tree in the temple?"
"Yes, but it was a tight fit getting it through the back door and out into the cloister. It's a good thing Birch is so flexible at that size."
He sighed mightily.
"The old tree must have been hundreds of years old."
"Val says over 300, as old as the temple."
Shari looked at him and shook her head.
"The worship of Lebowan didn't reach these lands until about 200 years ago. Since then, there has been an uneasy truce between them, backed by the laws of Karivia, until Zeldravel."
Stavin reached across the table and took both of her hands in his.
"Shari, Kavar Zeldravel is dead, and King Teravan is secure on his throne. Those fool priests have got to admit defeat, or die, and I'll be damned if I'm going to be any gentler with them than they were with the people in the palace. Ellie estimated that 730 people of every clan from Chosen to Common died at the hands of those priests."
Shari yanked her hands away from him as she shouted,
"Those priests, not these! You can't condemn every follower of Lebowan for the action of a few. That's as bad as them condemning the whole family because of one member. We are not them. We are better than that. We are smarter than that. It's as wrong for us to do it as it was for them."
She slammed her chair over backwards and stamped away, across the room and up the stairs. Karvik waited until she had slammed the door to the suite before he righted her chair and sat in it. "She has a point." Stavin put his head in his hands and sighed.
"I know."
"So what are you going to do about it?" Stavin asked.
"How long have they been on bread and water?"
Without looking up.
4 days, since our second day here."
Stavin nodded as he finally looked at Karvik again.
"Provide them..."
He paused as an idea curved his lips with a nasty grin and made him chuckle.
"Provide them army trail rations."
Karvik gave him a stunned look.
Hardtack, jerked meat and water. I can just imagine some chosen priest eating that.
Staving grinned and then started laughing for real.
Could be worse. How about our trail rations at the beginning of the expedition? Beans, beans, and more beans.
Now Karvik laughed and pointed a finger at his prince.
That's just plain mean, especially in close quarters.
I'll pass the instructions to Captain Zelkovo. He knows how many men are in there. You'll have to authorize the purchase of extra supplies for the troops.
Stavin was nodding.
Fresh supplies for our troops? Have the old supplies provided to the priests?
Karvik slapped Stavin's shoulder.
That's more like my prince and friend.
Stavin grinned, then looked at the innkeeper. He held up two fingers, and just a moment later, two tall glasses of dark beer were on the table in front of them.
Karvik sipped and nodded.
Good beer. A little bitter, but we've had worse.
Karvik sat back and looked at the beer.
Stavin took a sip and nodded. I wonder why Shari is being so impatient with me.
Karvik shook his head.
She's been overly patient for a long time, Steve.
But why is she yelling at me now?
Karvik shook his head, sadly.
Remember why she wanted a bath?
Other than the way you smelled?
Stavin nodded.
Because she...
He broke off as a comically horrified expression crossed his face.
It's been 3 days.
4.
Stavin shook his head.
This is bad.
Karvik grinned.
For you.
Chapter 27. It took 19 days for Lord General Zel-Enred to arrive. During that time, Stavin, Shari and their children, along with the royal guards, worked to restore Lady Sarin's temple. The people of Delta, especially the Lady Mayor and her council, aided them by providing building materials, furnishings, and occasionally skilled labor such as stonemasons. Lord General Nardan Zel-Enred was escorted into the temple of Lady Sarin the Nurturer, and found Prince Stavin standing on the shoulders of a tall young royal guards major, attaching a string of beads to a set of hooks in the ceiling.
"Just one more, Kar,"
Stavin said without looking down.
"All right, I'm moving forward,"
the major replied, as he carefully walked to the next beam, while Stavin walked his hands across the ceiling to keep his balance. Stavin secured the beads to the hook, then said,
"That's it, let me down."
Karvik reached up with both hands, and Stavin grabbed them, then carefully knelt. Reaching down with one bare foot, he hooked his toes into Karvik's weapons harness. From there it was a short drop to the floor, and Stavin bowed to the general.
"Welcome to Delta, General Zel-Enred. You've made good time getting here."
The general bowed deeply, but didn't even try to hide his grin. "We were already on patrol and headed this way when your messengers reached us, Prince Stavin. I took the liberty of informing His Majesty of the trouble here and your actions. He has already ordered all of the priests to Moravad for trial."
Stavin bowed slightly, then looked around.
"And Lady Sarin's temple is as whole as we can make it."
Shari joined them and put an arm around Stavin's shoulders.
"Lord General Zel-Enred, we came this way in order to visit you, and to see if you'd dug up anything interesting."
She chuckled at his expression. The general returned her chuckle and shook his head.
"No, Princess Charindis, nothing new, though it's not from a lack of trying. It seems that every community has a scholar who wants to make the next big discovery."
Stavin smiled and hugged Shari's waist with one arm.
"We heard about someone trying to find Klamath and Modok. That's an expedition I'd love to be on."
"Indeed," the general said, "and so would I. I almost retired in order to do just that, but my duty to King Teravan kept me in uniform. And then Zeldravel..."
He paused and shook his head slowly.
"If you hadn't acted as quickly as you did, I would have resigned my post and commission."
Stavin bowed slightly and replied,
"A lot of the kingdom's officers felt the same way. I only know for one general who openly followed Lebowan,
but even he stayed loyal once he was sure King Taravan was in fact alive.
Bertrand Zell Ashlan, Lord General Zell Enred murmured. I had about 15 of the Cutter's followers in my command, but none of them were above the rank of corporal. They made a fuss when Zell Dravel's message came, but we put them in their place. There were no inspections in my command other than the normal army inspections.
Staving grinned and said, Good. Shari smiled as well.
I believe our task here is done, General. We leave this mess in your capable hands. Captain Zell Corval has his men guarding Lebowan's temple, so we'll let you make whatever arrangements you need to tonight, and we will be off tomorrow morning.
The General smiled and bowed deeply before saying, As you command, Princess Charindis. The next morning, Stavin and Shari watched as 200 infantry troopers charged into Lebowan's temple, dragging the priests and their followers out with their hands tied behind their backs. Stavin saw one man in the elaborate, if somewhat ratty, blue robes of a priest inquisitor.
Troopers, a moment, please,
he said as he stepped forward.
Yes, War Master,
both women snapped in unison. Shifting his attention to the priest, he asked,
Are you Wandan?
The priest drew himself up to his full height and shouted,
I am Priest Inquisitor Wandan del Korvac, you defective little bastard. You will address me with the respect I am due.
General Zell Enred signaled to his troopers, and Priest Inquisitor del Korvac suddenly found himself kneeling at Stavin's feet. Stavin shook his head and replied,
I am Dragon-Blessed Senior War Master, Prince Stavin Zell Andral. Priest or not, you will address me with respect, or I'll gut you and leave you to die in the dirt.
You can't,
the priest began, but Karvik's fist interrupted, sending him flat on his back. Karvik bent over and pulled the fool back to his knees as he snarled,
You will address my prince with respect, or I'll crush your skull. You can't touch me. I'm a priest.
General Zell Enred laughed before saying, You are a deluded, murdering thief.
King Taravan has ordered you and your followers to Moravad to stand trial. You are charged with theft, murder, and collusion of treason for supporting Karvar Zell Dravel in his attempt to take Karavia.
No! The Zell Darvin line is defective.
High Priest Zell Dravel was within his rights and authority to condemn the defectives and seize their property.
This time it was Stavin's foot that sent him over backwards into the dirt.
Prince Kaldan was not defective, nor was Queen Rowena. Their murder has sealed the fate of Lebowan in this kingdom.
Indeed it has. By order of King Taravan, all priests who participated in the inspection and stoning of those who did not worship Lebowan are to be brought to Moravad for trial and their temple seized.
Stavin was looking at the general with a surprised expression on his face, so the general explained.
That command came down 17 days ago, Prince Stavin. It seems that the southeastern part of the kingdom had a lot more, and worse, incidents than the northwest. Whole towns were taken down there.
Stavin was nodding as he thought.
We heard rumors that they had stolen a lot of coin along with the properties. Be sure to search them carefully before you leave, and the temple as well. None of them will be returning, even if King Taravan doesn't execute them.
He turned and looked the temple over carefully.
Maybe I'll buy it and turn it into a warehouse.
The priest surged up from the ground, shouting,
I'll kill you!
As he moved towards Stavin. Lord General Zell Enred's dagger slammed home in his chest, stopping him well short of reaching Stavin. The general looked the dying man in the eye as he said,
You may not touch Senior War Master Zell Andral.
Stavin bowed slightly to the general, then watched in silence as the other 37 men who had been imprisoned in the temple were led by with their hands bound. Each reacted in some way to the sight of their leader lying dead in the street, but none made a fuss. None of them were loyal enough to him or Lebowan to join him. Chapter 28. The royal procession continued the next morning. Shari made a point of introducing Valoran to the general, and General Zell Enred had volunteered to pass the word to the Mother Temple in Moravad that she needed help re-establishing Lady Sarin's temple. Shari stood in her stirrups and looked back at Deltar just before they entered the trees. She murmured,
"I could have done without that." "Without what, Mummy?"
Carlin asked.
"Without all the death and sorrow, darling,"
she replied, as she faced forward once again.
"I really hoped we had left all of that behind us."
"Don't worry, Shari," Stavin said, as she returned to her saddle. "We're only 26 days from the border, and Nardan has already cleared this area." They traveled for just 3 days before reaching the next town. Stavin didn't have to be prompted this time, and asked for an inn with a bathing room right away. They stayed the night, then left early the next morning. Stavin paid the innkeeper over his protests. He, like most of the people they had met along the way, felt that the honor of serving the man who had saved them from Lebowan was payment enough. As in the plains of Evandia, communities in this part of Caravia tended to be small towns, surrounded by outlying farms, spaced about 3 days apart at the carriage's pace. Stavin made it a point to stop at each town for the night, and met with the mayor and council at each stop. Their fourth stop was at a very large town. Stavin was at first confused, but then he saw the town's name and the crossroads.
"This is Aram's Holding, and that's the road we took north on our first expedition. The road to Evandia is just 2 or 3 days north of here,"
Shari said.
"That's good to know. I'm thoroughly sick of traveling."
She looked around, then said,
"This looks like a good place to stop for a few days, Stavin. I need a rest."
Stavin bowed to her, then looked at Karvik.
"You heard her, Kar. Let's plan on 3 days.
Karvik nodded. "I'll inform Captain Zelkorval when we stop." Karvik asked the first merchant he saw, "Where is the finest inn Aram's Holding has to offer?" The man gave him a suspicious look, then replied, "The Blue Dragon is the Chosen's preferred inn. Who are you escorting?"
"Prince Stephen of Evandia."
Karvik's answer all but echoed through the area, as dozens, then hundreds of people began repeating the news that Stephen Dragonblessed was in their town. The Blue Dragon Inn wasn't very big or impressive from the outside, but the first sight of the common room stopped Stavin and Shari in their tracks. Shari was the first to recover enough to speak.
"This is more opulent than the palace,"
she whispered, as she gazed at the fine furnishings and decorations.
"Thank you," a man's voice said from their left. "Welcome to the Blue Dragon. I am Charl Felkistan, owner and innkeeper."
He bowed deeply to both Stavin and Shari. Karvik stepped forward and said,
"This is His Highness, Dragon-blessed Senior Warmaster, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dokilin Neaniston Zelandral of Evandia, his wife, Princess Sharindis Auralian Salis Neaniston Zelandral, and their children, Prince Carlin, Princess Sarin, and Princess Marin."
The innkeeper dropped to his knees as soon as he heard Stavin's name, and bowed very low again, touching his forehead to the floor.
"Your Highnesses, I am honored beyond my ability to express that you have chosen to honor my humble inn. My finest suite is yours."
Shari took the lead since Stavin was still gazing at the room.
"We thank you for your welcome, Master Felkistan. Our servants will be bringing in our bags in a moment. Please have someone show them where to put them. Our only immediate need is for some refreshments to wash down the road dust."
"At once, Your Highness. This way, please,"
he replied, as he rose to his feet and led the way to a finely inlaid table.
"What may I bring you, Your Highnesses?"
Shari nodded towards Stavin and said,
beer for Prince Stephen, tea for the children, and I will have a glass of white wine.
At once, Your Highness.
The drinks arrived in moments, and Karvik sampled each glass. Once he'd given the nod, Shari sipped her wine and hummed in appreciation when she tasted it.
This is a very fine vintage.
The innkeeper bowed deeply.
Thank you, Your Highness. Lady Zelsorvan will be pleased to hear that you approve. The Zelsorvan estate is one of the finest vineyards and wineries in the kingdom.
Staving gave Shari a puzzled look and asked,
Why does that name sound so familiar? Because it's Marina's favorite,
Shari answered with a soft smile.
She serves Zelsorvan wine at all of her parties. Glora loves it as well.
The innkeeper bowed. He didn't have to be told who Marina was.
If Lady Zelsorvan is in town, would you care to meet her, Your Highnesses?
Yes, Shari answered, but not until tomorrow. We are planning to stay for 3 days.
The next morning, Staven and Karvik didn't hesitate to take Shari and the children to the caravansary and bazaar. The servants came along as well. They had each received a gold crown every 10 days while serving King Teravan and Princess Elisan, as well as an extra 2 sparks a day for mentoring the new royal servants. The royal guards weren't hesitant either. King Teravan had issued 4 moons of pay to each of them for their service to Caravia, and Stavin had passed the word that anything they bought could be put in the baggage wagons for the trip back to Twin Bridges. Aram's holdings location, 4 days from the border-crossing city of Fort Zelnalis, made it the major destocking and restocking point for caravans traveling through this portion of Caravia. Stavin remembered their first visit fondly.
We were too busy on our first visit to buy much of anything,
he said loudly enough to be heard over the din of the traders and locals.
The Zelvandar caravan restocked in just 1 day.
Shari shouted back,
If we have to take an extra day, I won't object. I've never seen anything like this.
She was smiling and looking around in every direction. Stavin laughed as they walked into the crowd. It wasn't long, however, before they were recognized. The noise subsided as men, women, and children backed away and bowed deeply as they passed. Stavin returned the bows at first, then just smiled and waved. Once the shock wore off, the noise returned, but an island of relative quiet still traveled with them. The children were oblivious to everything except the extraordinary experience of going to a real caravansary. Shari cried out in delight when she saw a cloth merchant and led the way across the crowd. The merchant saw them coming and smiled in greeting. Then he realized who they were and dropped to his knees, bowing deeply as he said,
Your Highness, I am honored beyond my poor ability to express that you have chosen to patronize my humble stall.
Shari said, Stand, good master trader. You have some wonderful cloth.
The man slowly stood, glancing at Stavin and the royal guards, then bowed deeply to Shari.
Thank you, Your Highness. What has caught your discerning eye?
Shari ran a finger across a bolt of red silk that was interwoven with a shimmer of gold.
This is magnificent,
she almost whispered.
Ah, Your Highness, that silk is from far Cornadia, across the eastern sea. They are truly extraordinary weavers in that faraway land.
Yes, they are,
she agreed.
What kingly ransom have you placed on this cloth?
She smiled at him, and he seemed to melt.
From you, Princess Charindus, I will take no profit. This cloth costs me 2 and 6 for the bolt. I ask no more.
Shari looked at Stavin and raised an eyebrow. Stavin tilted his head to the side, then nodded.
About right,
was all he would say. Shari pulled her pouch from the belly of her bodice and laid out 2 gold Caravian crowns and 6 silver. Then she smiled and placed a 7th silver crown with the rest.
In any trade, good master trader, both sides should profit. Bundle the cloth carefully. It's still a long way to Twin Bridges.
The cloth merchant bowed deeply, then gathered the coins before wrapping the bolt of silk in a span of sturdy white wool. He bowed again as he laid the bundle in front of Shari.
"It has truly been an honor to serve you, Princess Charindus."
Shari smiled slightly and nodded, then picked up her purchase and led the way deeper into the bazaar. The royal party meandered through the bazaar and caravansary. Stavin and Shari bought a few items here and there, concentrating on small gifts for their extended family. The children picked out small gifts for their friends, and sweets. Honeyed nuts of several varieties, as well as a wide assortment of other confections, were available, but their purchases were limited by their parents, which was a thoroughly unfair situation as far as they were concerned. The guards weren't limiting themselves, though they only let one or two of their number be distracted at any one time. They had been in the caravansary for 5 spans before Karvik tapped Stavin's shoulder and said, "Company." Stavin followed the direction of Karvik's gaze, and his jaws clenched. A hand of armed and armored men were rudely pushing their way through the crowd toward them. Even from a distance, Stavin recognized the badges of the Kel Porten guards. Karvik and 5 guardsmen stepped forward, forming a wall of steel and flesh between their prince and the Kel Porten guardsmen.
"That's close enough," Karvik said loudly. "Stand aside, boy," the leader said in a contemptuous tone as he continued to advance.
Karvik's sword hissed against his scabbard as he drew it. Beside him and behind him, every guard instantly copied his actions. In the space between one breath and the next, 40 swords gleamed in the sun. Karvik glared at the now uncertain Kel Porten guardsman.
"That is close enough," he repeated. "You have no authority here, Evandian," the leader said, but he didn't sound quite so sure of himself.
"I have all the authority I need."
The leader looked around, then back at Karvik. He shouted,
"Do you know who I am?"
as he hooked a thumb toward his badge.
"I know what you are, Kel Porten," Karvik answered. "I've killed enough of you."
"Who are you? No effeminate Evandian can stand against a Kel Porten guard."
Karvik took a step forward and loudly replied,
"I am Major Karvik Kelkaren of the Evandian Royal Guard, War Leader 3rd of Kelkaven."
Now the Kel Portens all looked nervous.
"You still have no authority in Karavia,"
the leader muttered. Karvik grinned.
"Prince Stephen is next in line to the Karavian crown until Princess Elisan reaches her majority. He gives me all the authority I need."
Now Stephen pushed his way to the front.
"King Keelin outlawed the Kel Porten guards in Evandia after you aided the traitors in the Skycon trade town. I wonder what it would take to get King Taravan to outlaw you in Karavia."
The leader started to say something in return, but the other 4 grabbed him and hurried away, as the crowd parted to give them an avenue of escape.
Karvik chuckled and said, "I guess they didn't like the idea."
Stavin laughed back,
"Guess not."
Stavin and Shari spent the rest of the day shopping. They had returned to the inn for a quiet evening before someone else approached. A tall young woman walked boldly up to the royal guards and said,
"I would like to speak to Prince Stephen."
"Would you indeed?" one of the men asked. "Who should we see is calling?"
he continued with a grin.
"Master trader Ralina Kelvandar of the Zelvandar Trading House."
"Ralina!"
a voice shouted from inside the inn, and a large figure rushed out and grabbed her in a tight hug for a moment, before setting her down and stepping back.
"It's so good to see you again."
Ralina looked up at the tall young man, and her obvious wonder grew as she finally recognized him.
"Karvik!"
"Hi, Ralina,"
Karvik replied with a stupid grin.
"What are you doing here?"
Ralina laughed.
"We're on the way home, Kar. We arrived this morning and heard Prince Stephen was in town, so I came over to pay my respects."
Karvik grinned even wider and said, "Come in. Steve is going to be delighted to see you, and I know Shari has wanted to meet you for years."
Ralina let Karvik lead her into the common room, then to a private dining room. Stavin looked up when the door opened, then stood up so quickly his chair almost tipped over backwards, shouting, "Ralina!" as he ran over to hug her. Ralina couldn't bow or kneel, so she just kissed him on the forehead and said,
"It's wonderful to see you again, Prince Stavin." "This is Shari,"
Stavin said, as he pulled her over to the table. Shari had stood as soon as she realized who Ralina was.
"I am pleased to meet you at last, Ralina. I owe you for Stephen's life."
Ralina smiled and shook her head.
"There is no debt, Princess Charindis. Stephen had saved me and every member of our caravan more than once. It was my honor and duty to aid him when I could."
Karvik was still by the door and said, "Look at her arm, Steve." Stephen did and chuckled. The arm guard they had given her almost 7 years ago now held a red stripe and four white.
"Been busy, I see," he chuckled.
Ralina grinned as she replied,
"I requested and have received weapons training from the Council and Forces every winter since that year, Prince Stephen. Our guards have objected a few times, but most of them know the story of that caravan and accept my rank among them."
Shari chuckled.
"They better. Come, sit down and have a drink with us."
Ralina bowed, then accepted the seat at Shari's right. Shari said,
"Ralina Kelvandar, these are our children, Karlin, Saren, and Marin."
Ralina bowed deeply to the children, then gave Stavin a questioning glance. Stavin nodded.
"Yes, Sari is named for your Nana."
Ralina looked at the twins and smiled deeply.
"Princess Saren, it pleases me greatly that you share my Nana Saren's name. She was a great woman, and I loved her very much."
Saren giggled.
"Daddy said your Nana Saren was a nurturer, just like Lady Saren."
"Yes, she was," Stavin agreed.
"She and Kethlan were why I decided to study trade and become a trader. And save us all in the process,"
Ralina added.
"That was duty,"
Stavin replied.
"I didn't really become a trader until after Valavat, when you started lecturing me."
Shari giggled.
"Stevie thought he was done with being a student. Then you started teaching him things he'd never considered important before. And he was right back at the beginning. He spent a lot of time studying trade that winter, so he could honorably earn Third Master's pay with the caravans the next summer. Then he wasn't summoned for the expedition."
She smiled at Stavin as she continued.
"He made up for it, though. Dad took 8 veterans with them to Karant's Pass, and Stavin got our spring supplies for half the price we'd been paying. Then they went to Evandia and got in the middle of the conspiracy against King Kaelin."
Ralina nodded.
"I heard the story he told Uncle Alec."
Turning to Stavin, she bowed her head and grinned.
"I tried to see you when you passed through on your way to Evandia. But between Uncle Alec and the needs of my caravan, I just couldn't find the time. And now, with the favored trader status you arranged, we spend a lot more time in Evandia."
"Expect to spend more time in Karevia as well," Stavin said as his grin widened. Ralina asked,
"What did you do?"
in almost exactly the same tone Shari habitually used, and Stavin and Shari both burst out laughing. Over the next 3 spans, Stavin and Shari brought Ralina up to date on the happenings in Karevia since their arrival. Ralina sat in stunned silence for a moment, then whispered,
"King Stavin,"
in a soft tone.
"But wait a moment,"
she continued in a stronger voice.
"They charged me the full 5% crossing into Karevia."
Stavin chuckled and said, "It won't go into effect until midwinter. By then all of the border crossings will have the official list of the Aravad Traders Council, so no one else takes advantage of it." Ralina bowed in her seat, then stood and bowed again.
"Prince Stavin,
It has been wonderful to see you again, and to meet you and your children, Princess Charindis, but I must return to my caravan.
Stavin stood and walked Ralina to the door.
It's been a pleasure to see you as well, Ralina. If you stop in Twin Bridges, please come by and say hello.